Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Good morning, everybody. Hello, it's so good to be back. I really miss you guys. Did you know I was gone? Okay, I'm feeling the love. Wow, my heart is full this morning. I just really want to thank the worship team for just helping us do what we're meant to do on Sundays. It just dawned on me, really, and now I get it. When God says that He dwells and inhabits the praises of His people, I realize that's probably one thing that anybody can do. If He said, I inhabit the good works of His people, I inhabit the time that people came on time to service of the people. Sorry, I'm not trying to say anything here, okay? But He just says He inhabits the praises of His people. All of us can praise. All of us can manage to say thank you. All of us can manage to just raise our hand. Even my son, Zion, whom was just coming up here last Sunday. I appreciate you guys for loving on him and understanding how my boy just missed me. So first, I'd like to say thank you for loving on my boy and just really give him grace. But even he knows how to praise God. So I just want to, just a bit before I forget and go into my message, I just wanted to encourage you. We come here every Sunday to do one sure thing, is to praise. If you want to come out changed, praise God. Just thank God. And so this morning, I couldn't control myself and say, God, thank you so much for making it easy for us to praise. We didn't have to come perfect. We didn't have to come sinless. But all you wanted to do is to inhabit the praises of our people. So I just want you to just, can we all lift our hands out, God, hands up to God right now? Maybe we just wanted to, if in case you didn't do this yet, you just came in now, just utter this, say, thank you, Jesus. That's a praise. Thank you, Lord. My husband is right now in Melbourne, also upskilling himself and just doing some meetings with our leaders from the Every Nation movement. I just recently came back from a trip. It was really a long one. I don't think I'll ever do that again. 2 weeks is quite long for me. I'm not used to that anymore. But it was really something that we believed God instructed me to do. I was in Auckland and Samoa, Talofa. I have to wear my, what do you call that? Fatanga now, but I was wearing that. Don't usually wear a dress, but I felt comfortable in that. And it was really just, not just an eye-opener, but I knew when I agreed to do this trip, both for Auckland and both for Samoa, that I was going to come back changed. And I thank God for doing that. Because sometimes, you know, we have to stop and pause and see, do I really get this, Lord? Do I really get what it means to follow you? And we needed trips like this. Sometimes we need I called it a timeout. It didn't seem like work to me. As a matter of fact, we all know that when we do go on missions trips, we come back being the one blessed. And over the last, if I can be candid with you, over the last couple of months, I noticed myself getting a bit entitled, feeling a little bit, oh, now wait a minute, why is this not happening for me? Now wait a minute, they should know this is what they're supposed to do. They should know. And I said, okay, Nelly, I think I'll need to get grounded again. I need to understand what it really means to walk with you and to be like you. And I just praise God for this opportunity and just wanted to show you a little bit. Didn't really get a clear shot. We're not allowed to show the faces of those girls who lived in this place called the Samoa Victim Support Group. And this is why I went. When I met not just the children and the women living there, when I met the workers, I was so broken and I just realized, wow, Lord, there's really one message. There's really one message, whether it be in Auckland, Samoa, or Brisbane, that should be heard. And that is, not only should we call Jesus Savior, but we should call Him Lord. And in that process, we can understand why we don't or why we do transform. You see, when we came in, or when I came in, my heart, and I asked God, I pleaded to Lord, when we go into this place, I don't want to go there and just show face and do some dance and make them feel good, and they come out and nothing's changed. And as I was tasked to do some counseling, to preach and to just encourage, God, give me a word so that this does not happen. that these people will see hope but not be able to grab it. That they will know about you but will never be able to understand your saving power. I hope that doesn't happen, Lord. I prayed that prayer. And one of the things that really the Lord spoke to me about was to just share with them, first and foremost, the reality that once you become a follower of Christ, once you say the salvation prayer, you're not going to transform overnight. That's if God doesn't allow you to. You're not going to transform overnight to that person that you believe God has called you to be. A lot of times we get frustrated, don't we? A lot of times, not only do we get frustrated, sometimes we don't only get frustrated with ourselves, we get frustrated with other people. We suddenly wonder why we always say this statement, she calls herself a Christian, she calls herself a pastor, she calls herself a worker, why isn't she doing this? Now, how many of you are feeling me? Can I see a show of hands? Good, praise the Lord for honesty. And for me, that was my purpose. I really wanted to take that little what I call a root out and understand how come I can't, somehow I have a hard time criticizing, being critical. I have a hard time judging people. And so the Lord reminded me of this life message that I keep on delivering every time we do Victory Weekend, every time I do life group. Something we need to know about this whole business, so to speak, or life choice we make about being a Christian. It's got a root that we need to understand. Let me read you our verse for this morning. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, can you say that with me? Being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. I say that again. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, would you use me to speak your word? Father, may your angels come and surround us this morning. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place, that you would do the work, that we cut through to our heart, through bone and marrow, that you would reveal to us that which we haven't heard, that which we haven't received from you, God. Would you reach deep into those portions in our heart that we have yet to give to you, so that we may come out truly transformed and changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible said, share with us, that we need to be rooted and grounded in love. Now, some of us, particularly me, this is my realization. Some of the times when I walk in my Christianity and I get frustrated, I'm sensing that maybe this is the case. Maybe I'm not being rooted and grounded in love. Maybe I'm being rooted and grounded in the law. You see, each time that I get frustrated when something doesn't go my way, or when I feel like I hurt the Lord and I sinned, and I get frustrated, and then I sin the same thing the next morning. Or I come to church and finish praise and worship, preaching a good message. I get into my car, I drive, and then somebody cuts me and I say, but I just came from church. You know? That happens a lot. I started to ask God, how come? You know, there's this certain things in my life that I can't seem to get over with in terms of just being a conqueror, victorious in my way of thinking, my way of acting, my way of doing. And then I realized that perhaps it's just too much, because when I'm rooted and grounded in the law, meaning to say, if I want to make sure that I keep up with appearances, if I want to make sure I've got the checklist today, did I do this, do that? If I try to, yes, I can read my verses, I can do all things, but if it doesn't cut deep, or at least know how it should cut deep, this is what's going to happen. The law, rooted and grounded in the law, the first thing we need to understand about the law, it's unattainable. Everybody say unattainable. Even when we're born, the first minute or even in the womb, God already knew that the law is unattainable, that we will not be able to perform as that which the law expects us to perform. Now, I come from Singapore, and this is every consumer's demand. I don't know why Singapore never gets it. You can't get something fast, good, and cheap. I was thinking, Lord, how should I illustrate unattainable? And I think, oh, I've forgotten that this is one of the things that I kept on laughing at about. Even I, as a consumer, started to become like really just demanding this when it's actually, I don't think it's possible. Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins, Ecclesiastes says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, if we didn't get that message yet, apart from Jesus Christ, His saving work, or even in the process of that which we are growing in Christ, being perfect in the law or following the law is impossible. So stop beating yourself about it, or stop beating your neighbor about it. Husbands and wives, turn to each other and say, I'm sorry. Tell them. I'm just kidding. All right? So we need to first understand that. The law is not only unattainable, it takes hard work, doesn't it? Over the past couple of months, I realized I've been saying that a lot. Kind of like, it was so embarrassing because I was going through a salvation prayer with somebody recently. And I was showing him all the goodness, the kindness, God loves you. And immediately after that, I just told this to him. I said, oh, by the way, it's not going to be easy being a Christian. The first thing I said, that is the truth. But I realized that probably wasn't the best way or the best time. Or that probably wasn't the unction of the Holy Spirit for me to say that right after I said the salvation prayer. And I noticed, oh my goodness, every single day I started to feel like, God, this is really hard being a pastor's wife, dude, being this, you know, being that, or even just waking up in the morning. Oh my goodness, it's so hard. And that's when I started to hear the alarm bells ringing, or when I start to criticize people for not doing their hard work because they're Christians. Well, you see, that was evidence that maybe I was starting to get rooted and grounded in the law, or if I have. Bible in Matthew 7 says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. The gate is narrow. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. Now, I want to make myself clear for now. When I say strive, we're not talking about human just effort here. And I'm not trying to give you news that's kind of depressing. Okay, there is a point to all this. Just bear with me and stick with me. Romans 7 said, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. This is my favorite verse because I find myself saying this. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. Everybody say amen. You still struggle with certain things. I thought, I gave this to the Lord. Oh my God, I've attended 22 victory weekends, and I'm still dealing with this issue. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Wow, that's a lot of doing for Paul. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So it's clear that it is hard work. Now, when I was in Apia, how many are you from Samoa here? Can I see a show of hands? Let's give them a big hand, please. I just want to honor them. I want to honor them because the country is such a beautiful country. It's amazing, though, because during our fasting, I went to the land of cookie time and then the land of taro, and I couldn't get any of that. It was really hard. But I made up for it in other ways. But I just, in the time of just visiting the SVSG, Samoa Victim Group, support group, I realized that one thing that we needed to do was to really bring hope to people. Because in their situation, where these people have been abused, have been raped, have been abandoned, you got cases where, and I probably must say this to you, just in some way, be encouraged that God loves the little children. The Lord gave me a vision of a boy in a white shirt before we got into the place. And when we got into that, this boy just came running up to Henry, because even that was very clear. The Lord said he's going to run up to Henry. And he looked pretty happy, but I noticed this boy couldn't speak. He was pretty rough, but he wasn't hurting. He was really rough. Then I found out the story that this boy was raised in the cage with dogs for 5 years. And somebody had to rescue him. They saw rescued him. You know, nobody wanted him. But yet in his eyes, you could see hope. You know, all of us were weeping. I was weeping. But in him, he was just like, and his name was Nelly. So God to just do it that way. And of course, I called him, can we take him home? Can we take him home? I wanted to take home 10 children that day. And my husband, of course, just gave me a reality check. We can serve and help either way. But you guys, if you want to adopt, please come to me. Yet, the first thing I thought of is, now how are we going to work for this kid to really receive the transformation and true? And God paused again and said, look, it's not going to be hard work. It's going to be hard work apart from my spirit. And I asked God, if it's not going to be hard work, and if it's going to be through your spirit, could you please remind me, how are we supposed to do this? How are we supposed to minister and show your transforming love operate in people's lives or in our lives? And again, God just whispered in my ear, rooted and grounded in love. I'm glad we are in this series in Christ and reading Ephesians. See, a lot of times, the spiritual reality is that we are in Christ. That's a spiritual reality. But coming to the saving knowledge of the love that surpasses all understanding is the language of intimacy. That is what's going to transform us. I'll say it again. When we are in Christ, that is a spiritual language. That's the language we understand. But when we know the love, when we understand fully beyond, well, we can't fully understand, but when we get to that process of the love being revealed to us, that is the language of intimacy. We all know that when we know that someone loves us, or when we love someone, we change. True? We manage to do the impossible. I'll share with you a secret, and some of you know this already. I never used to like children. I never did. Nelly knew this. I wasn't even sure I wanted children. I was already a Christian. I was the youngest of 8. I never knew how to take care of, I don't even know how to take care of myself. How can I take care of children? Of course, this happens in the first year. I got married to Nelly. I was 37 years old. And so Nelly, we got married. Nelly is 5 years younger than me. And when we first got married, I told him, okay, let's not sure yet if we're going to have children soon, or I don't know if I can have children. Let's give it about 4 years. I had the audacity to say 4 years. And of course, I didn't realize that required planning. I got pregnant right away. And God gives me Nazareth, then Zion, then Jordan. And Nazareth and Zion, and just really hilarious, and I really praise God for that. As you all know, have a condition. And this, of course, they were both diagnosed with autism. And Nazareth, just to encourage you, was like Zion when she was 4 or 3, even worse, because she was kept on just being very hyperactive, and just she had the ADD, swinging around, couldn't look, couldn't talk. And we just kept on laying hands and people praying, and suddenly she just broke out of it. She went from being diagnosed with ASD to high-functioning Asperger's. So now I can't stop her from talking. Some of you may have experienced that with her. And, you know, it wasn't easy. And yet the Lord allowed me to love and give me the grace beyond measure, because that's His transforming work. I had to go back to that place when I first made the judgment. When I said, I'll never have difficult kids. I said that. But they were difficult. You see, God does not change. It was my perception that God had to change. And God had to change in me, my heart. But I had to get to the root of it all. And I have heaps of stories to tell about that. But the thing that really had to happen was not for me to have hard work and go through all the schools of how to deal with children with special needs. Of course, that is very valuable. But you see, it didn't come from that. My transformation didn't come from that. My transformation came from allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to really dig deep inside. That was His work, not mine. Sustaining breakthrough without the fuel of the Holy Spirit for any degree of success or sustainability, or hard work is driving is involved, without the cross of Jesus Christ will not get you any breakthrough. One of the things that we need to understand too, it's rooted on what is seen. So we fix our eyes on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary. Tell your neighbor, temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, ouch, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. See, when we're rooted and grounded on the law, we try to put up with appearances, true? You know, when we first went through my counseling internship, a lot of the people I counseled were people from the clergy. And it caused me to pause and think for a while. Not only that, these were doctors and lawyers with issues. You see, when you reach a level of titles, so to speak, we have what we call in the industry a hidden stony heart. I'll say it again, a hidden stony heart. And when we don't understand what's going on in our heart and we just continue to serve and serve and serve and serve out of our own need, the longer that this does not get addressed, any bitterness, any reason for serving, I mean, ask yourselves, is there anything in my heart right now that's not good? That's fueling me to try to look good. Quite a concept, right? And sometimes it's hard to detect because it looks good. But in reality, some of us may still be dealing, I know I am, some of us may still be dealing with a fuel that's not exactly Jesus' fuel. And people can sense it. People, especially if we hear the same Holy Spirit, we can sense it. And that's why I love being in Every Nation, because we have commitment to be real with one another and speak to one another. Just because these things, it will not be detected by the public eye. These things of being such a great preacher or such a good doctor or good lawyer, oh, wow, she's an amazing community worker. Look at what she's doing. The next thing you know, marriage. They split up, they get divorced, there's a couple of things wrong with the marriage, and they didn't see it. This is something that we need to be aware of, because I know all of us here are called to minister. Now, what does it mean to be rooted and grounded in love? So first we said, if we are rooted and grounded in the law, we all know it's the first thing, what is it? Unattainable. The second thing, it's? Yeah. The third thing, it's rooted on what is? That's right. Now, love, first and foremost, is freely given. Everybody say freely given. When we're rooted in Christ's love, we need to remember a couple of things. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We mentioned that a while ago. And are justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. See, God knew it was going to be impossible for us. That's why He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And what I love about this is He says this, no one takes my life from me. You didn't have to tell me to die for you. We loosely say, oh gosh, you need Jesus. You need to call Jesus, which is true. You need to call on him. But some of us may think like, well, I made the choice to become a Christian. Therefore, I should have been changed. Everybody tell your neighbor, saying, tell them, No. It was God's choice to reveal himself to you. It was God's choice to die for you on the cross. You did not make him die. I'll say it again. It was his choice. He laid it down of his own accord. Can you imagine that? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given. Now love is not hard work. Love is a finished work. John 19 says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed down his head and gave up his spirit. That's why we celebrate the finished work of Jesus Christ. We don't celebrate things like, oh my gosh, worship was really great. There was no technical difficulties. Oh, Charles hit that high note. Oh, yeah. Look deeper. Understand why we do certain things. Some of us may be doing things because we're programmed to do it by now. We're not supposed to be programmed to do it. We need to be initiated. We need to have the motivation because it comes natural for us to understand the love of Christ, know it, and because of that understanding, that revelation, that thankfulness will flow out of our hearts organically. I hate that word, but I have to say it organically. It will come out because we know what he did for us on the cross. When we were singing a while ago, we praised for what he did and he resurrected. Oh my goodness. I still get the goosebumps today. There was a time that I didn't, probably last week or 2 weeks ago. But when God looks me in the face and says, you need to wake up and understand that I love you and there's nothing that you can do more for me to love you. Stop striving. Stop attaining. Stop worrying about how you look on the outside. Because that ain't going to do it. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. When I went into, it doesn't matter actually, every time I go into a place where I believe God wants to bring hope, healing, and blessing, I always remember this. Because this is the one thing I really want people to understand here. When I first read this, I couldn't understand. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law. I have come to fulfill them. So Jesus is going to follow the law? I didn't really quite get it. When I look at the children in SVSG, I say, how is this going to happen, Lord? Something bad happened to them. And we all know when we're young, and please, as I'm saying this, communicating to this right now, keep an open mind. And I'm going to pray for you right now. Can you put your hands on your heart, please, just right now? God, Father, I know today some of us are going to hit deep in our hearts. Father, you're a gentle God. You're a gentle God, and you reveal fruit when it's ripe. And right now, Father, I believe there's something that's ripe for people to know, for people to get revelation off in their hearts. God, would you be with them? Would you show them that you were there? The first time they made a judgment, the first time they experienced something. In Jesus' name we pray. So these kids experienced something terrible, right? It was trauma. The problem with just plain counseling without understanding the biblical principles, and biblical principles apply to everybody in the world. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not, because God created the world, true? Let me share with you some biblical principles. The first principle, honor thy mother and father. Have you heard that? Actually, it's the only commandment in the Bible that has a blessing mentioned after. It says, honor thy mother and father so that life will go well with you. Do you remember that part? Everybody probably just remember your mom saying, honor me, or, you know, honor me. That's what the commandment says. No, actually, the commandment says, honor mother and father so that life will go well with you. Now, that's a very basic principle that's very applicable. Another principle in the Bible is the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow will come back to you. Now, if we add the other principle of the Bible that says the law of increase, it will come back to you 100, 1,000, 10-fold. True? Now, I don't have the scriptures here, but it's in the Bible. Trust me. So the problem with sometimes when we do counseling without, we pray for people or or at least in the profession of professional counsel, we talk about this habit that they're forming and we give them strategies. We add strategies. Oh, you must do this, get some more sleep, write down every day what you're not supposed to do, email me, a lot of that. When as a matter of fact, when we want really biblical breakthrough, we don't add, we actually take out. And one of the things that I realized that when I see these kids who have experienced something, whether or not they knew what they were doing, because they're children, our infallibility, our tendency to sin is to judge. So let's say, for instance, something bad happened to this kid. He had a very dominant father who abused him and hit him. Alcoholic dad, since he was born, had bruise marks, neglected, verbally abused, told he was no good. Now, what do you think that kid is starting to feel? Looks at his father, says, "Why are you so abusive? Why am I getting hurt all the time?" Wow, that means to say, all men are going to be abusive. Oh, I have no future. You call me stupid, then therefore I'm stupid. I will never, ever, ever, ever be like you. That happens when we're young. Or I will never, ever, ever come under the authority of a male figure or a female figure. Now, when that happens, that's a judgment. Two things, judgment and dishonoring the father. And when you judge, guess what? What you sow is what you reap. Guy Kearns grows up, what happens? He becomes exactly like who? His father. True? That's a biblical principle. And you wonder why we come to every victory weekend and still wonder why these hands can't stop hitting your wife or your children. Truth of the matter is, that hasn't been addressed. You hadn't dug deep. For me, if I share with experience with you, when Nazareth, my eldest child, she would always do good things. When she would do good things, I would come and praise her because, "That's amazing, Nazareth. That's really good. Wow, look at you. You really dressed up yourself well." This is when she was 5. Then I'd go inside her room. Her cabinets was all messed up. After just saying, "Wow, you really put on a good dress," I come back, "Naz, why did you mess up your cabinet? What's wrong with you?" Now, this was a Jekyll and Hyde situation that's been going on in my house the first couple of years. And it was so bad that at some point, Nazareth, I could see she would creep by. She didn't even know, "Should I tell Mom I did my homework? But if I do tell her I did my homework, she'll tell me I didn't write well. I don't know what to do." And Nellie had to call me out. She said, "Girl, you need counseling, girl." So I went for counseling. Everybody say there's no shame in counseling. Say that. There's no shame. Sometimes you need help. Now, don't make being counseled a career. There's some people that keep on coming back. Sometimes I had one person back in Singapore come back. I looked at her and said, "Why are you here?" "Well, I'm taking all the marks and I'm wondering, the marks that says I'm doing well, and I'm wondering, why am I doing so well?" I said, "Go home. It's not your season for counseling. You're all good, okay? Don't make it a career." Right? People around you, I'm telling you, that's the Kiasu syndrome. If you're Malaysian, Singaporean, you know what that means, right? They always want to like be the most excellent. Now, if I tell you, there is a time for that. For me, that was my time. And so I had to sit down and ask, where was the first time that I made a mistake? It could be that I probably judged someone when I was young for being a Jekyll and Hyde. And I remember when I was young, my mom was very, very, very Western. She didn't give me much hidings when I was young. But the one hiding she gave me when I was 6 years old or 7, she took her little slipper and she slapped me. Just very, I remember my sister and brother weren't alarmed for it, so it must have been a really soft tap because I yelled back at her. She slapped me, then I looked at her and I said, "How could you be so kind at one time and be so evil the next? I'll never be like you." When the Lord brought me back to that memory, I said, "Oh dear, I'm sowing that judgment." So God brought me back and said, "Tina, that shouldn't have happened to you." All right? Sometimes there are things that happen to children that shouldn't have happened to them. But God knew. God knew these things were happening. And that's why, instead of us trying to get counseled out by getting any self-help method, God did this. If you see this diagram, this was the judgment that people sowed when they're young, and it goes back to them as a law. They will pay for the consequences. True? That's what happens, naturally. And God knew this beforehand. He knew. He knows the things that have happened to you. And He is not rejoicing up in heaven saying, oh, you, this is a refining moment for you. No. His love for us was so wide, so deep. We couldn't understand the breadth of it, that He sent His only Son to come in between you and those consequences. We need to understand this. He became the law. When that verse said that, He came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the consequences that are supposed to be yours. Any generational sin, anything you did in the past, God can come in between that and you. That's what it meant when the Bible says He came to fulfill the law. That's how wide and how deep God's love is for us. You know, when I prayed that prayer of repentance and forgiveness towards my mom, because you know what? My mom, it was probably just a slight tap, but kids see black and white. When we're young, we only see black and white. When we're young, you don't know this. Even when we're in the womb, we feel rejection. If your mom didn't want you, you felt that. You wonder why you go around, you know, and sit beside someone, as someone actually looks good, smells good, nothing wrong with her. Then you suddenly feel, I don't want to be beside this person. You know what that is? That's a defiling spirit. Meaning to say, when she was young, she probably said, I'll always be rejected. I always will. That happens. Have you ever had an experience like that? I can't put my finger on it, but why? I just don't seem to want to be with this person. So we need to come back to that place where we're sowing what we're reaping. Now, Auntie Tina, do you mean these people in SVSG are reaping what happened to them? Is it their fault? That's not the point here. The point is, God can come. Whether or not that was something that had paid the sins of their forefathers or their fathers, we need to understand that God can come in between this and your consequences. This is the hope in Jesus Christ that some people may have forgotten. Yes, they receive Christ Jesus. They think it's a euphoric experience. That's it. And they wonder why they never change. Bitter root. I will always remember the tree. And when we went to Samoa, we had My Story logo. I think Bianca, you did that, hey? Has the roots magnified or really just shown, because that's what counts. We cut off any bitter root. We need to give it to God. We need to forgive. Everybody say forgive. Our moms and dads didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know any better. Love is rooted on what is unseen. I love this photo. Do you know what this song is about? What song is this? The wise man built his house upon the rock. I think we all remember that from Sunday school. And now when we think, oh, that must be really sturdy rock. You have to really get good foundations, really sturdy rock. But if you look at the whole passage, let me tell you this. This is something that a lot of people miss out on. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. Listen up. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep. Everybody say, dug down deep. And then laid foundation on rock. We miss that part. We miss that part of digging deep. A lot of us do. And that's why we wonder, how come I can't seem to get my breakthrough? How come I'm not transforming? When a flood came, the storm struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. This is digging deep. I just saw a video this morning about how deep the ocean is on Facebook. And, you know, the deeper you go, the stranger animals you see. Is there really a colossal squid? Is that true? There's really a big squid? My geologists here should know what's going on under there, hey? The deeper you go, the weirder animals you see. It's strange, huh? I think that's true for our hearts as well. We don't want to go there. I'll ask you, you know what the function of our mind is?
You know what the function of our brain is? Just throw it out. What's the function of our brain? To what? Yes, to think, to control our minds, our emotions, what? Add knowledge. Actually, the number one function of the brain is to block out. Is to block out information. That's the number one function. If I were having my brain operational, I'd be so overly sensitized here and I wouldn't know what to do. And sometimes we have to ask God, God, show me, did I block out something that I need to know? You're a gentle God, take me there, because I want to repent. I want to forgive. Stony hearts. The Bible doesn't talk about inner vows. It talks about stony hearts. Inner vows lead to the foundation of stony hearts. Do not harden your hearts as in Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. And I will give them one heart and a new spirit I'll put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. This is why we fast and pray. How is it going for you guys? Has God revealed stuff? Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Get with someone to help you pray. If you need counseling, go for counseling. It's okay. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. I'll read that passage again. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. The Holy Spirit will partner with you through this. He's the only one that can cut through that stony heart. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. Can I have the background? Someone in the back. That surpasses knowledge, that you be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we think, ask, or think. Bring you back once again to that place in Samoa I went to. Not only did God give me a vision for Nelly, not my husband. I mean, I have visions of him every second. I'm talking about Nelly, the boy who grew up in the cage with the dogs. As my heart broke, I asked God, show me what's going to happen to this child. And in the spirit, I sensed not only he's going to be okay, he's going to change Samoa. He's going to do things far beyond our imagination, far beyond than what we ask or think. Look at yourselves right now. How did you get here? Did you even imagine that you would get here? I know I couldn't have imagined myself getting here. You see, the reason why it speaks so strongly for me to go to that place is because I was a victim too. And some of you may have been victims. Yet, here I am. Not perfect. Life group members say amen. But here I am. With beautiful family like this in Brisbane. With a husband and a leader like Nelly. With three wonderful children. I never thought that could happen to me. And that's when I remember I need to be rooted and grounded in love, not in law. You can't do the law. You have to know. Get intimate with Jesus. There are ways to do that. Get with someone and ask, what should I do first? Be consistent. Chase him. Stop chasing the law. Just chase him. It's going to be a real good 2018, family. If this is the top of your list, it's going to be amazing. You're going to experience things in your walk with God that you've never thought could happen to you. Breakthrough after breakthrough. Christ's love, when it reaches deep into those bitter roots, when it finally kicks the bitter root out and you're there, planted by the streams of living water, finally can accept. It has the strength power to break through our stony hearts. It is a strength power to repent and forgive. If you think you can't forgive your dad, your mom, your friend, God can. Ask him to. Not only that, you'll be able to bless and walk in community. I've never thought I could bless people who abused me. I never thought I could do that. And walking in community is key. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to be put on the new self, created to be God, be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off. Everybody say, put off. Dig deep. Dig deep. Don't try to put on. Put off. Dig deep. I don't want to just end with a word of encouragement. I want to see transformation begin in this room. And the first thing we can do is acknowledge. The first thing we can do is acknowledge.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.